The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 24th day of April. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And we're going to be the voice of the Christian resistance until the Lord takes us home. And saying that, I do want to say, I just heard my friend Don from the Three Angels Ministry say a good word about me and about what the programs we bring. And I just want to say I thank you, Don. But I also want to say, because I'm one of those heaven sweet hell hot Baptists that you're talking about, might be a good idea to read Revelation 20:10. Revelation 20:10, it says exactly what it means, and it means exactly what it says. And you really can't dispute it. I mean, as far as annihilation goes, let me just tell you here. He says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And the verse that you referred to over there in Ezekiel chapter 28, angels and people, we don't go out of existence. We change forms. We change real estate. We change forms. And what he was referring to is Satan would no longer exist in the form that he was in with the power that he had. And that's what that reference is referencing to. But anyhow, after saying all that, again, I want to thank you for those kind words, Don. And let's go to the title of the message tonight is Storm Clouds, Birth Pains in the Time of Sorrow, Coming Soon. And some of this is probably will be much more in agreement with Bruce and Don than we are in other things. But anyhow, so that's the title, and I'm going to do some commentary here to begin with. In the Western culture, there are those that I call la-la landers. And I'm referring to the vast majority of humanity in these cultures. They know that things are not the way that they should be or could be, but they're at a loss to reason out why. And the sense that there is a great cultural divide between the majority of indoctrinated and the biblically literate. These folks, the la-la-landers, they're in a fog as to the meaning of the convergence of the geopolitical, the ecologic, the scientific, the religious, the spiritual, the moral, the cultural, and economic new world order. They know things aren't right, but they just quite don't get it. They don't understand why. Because of biblical literacy. They are at a loss to understand why they're being taught to accept and conform to beliefs that that not so long ago, not so long ago, would have landed them right in a mental institute. And folks, I'm telling you, it hadn't been that long ago when people would come out and they would make statements like, they don't know what a man or a woman is. They don't know what a man or a woman is. They don't know if there's such a thing as a boy or a girl. They don't know how many genders there are. They don't know what a gender is. That kind of nonsense, that kind of lunacy, would have landed them right in the mental institute out there. People would have taken them in and put them under psychiatric care for saying such things. But today, the woke movement, can you imagine Coca-Cola telling people they have to be, that they should become less white? Well, like I said, I quit drinking Coca-Cola when that came up, and I've become more white. Now, things like killing an innocent baby isn't murder, but it's a constitutional right. That's a lie from the pit of hell told by liars. That is a lie from the pit of hell told by liars. Killing baby, God has spoken. God has said that killing babies is murder. And, guess what? You know, God has ruled on that. That's already a decision. Now, things like numerous genders and sexual identities, when they've also always known. We've always known that there are only two genders, male and female. It's the way it's always been. In fact, I asked the folks in the church, has anybody known anything other than a male or a female? Has anybody known anyone who's known anything other than a male and a female? No, they don't. They're bullied by the Antichrist left into silence when they know they should speak out against that evil, but they're afraid of being censored or canceled by the communist elite. Now, they feel mocked, and they feel made to look foolish when they have to pretend that they don't know what a man or a woman is, or a boy or a girl. They fear to speak out against the lunacy for a fear of being outed by the fake news media. They know that critical race theory promotes hatred against white people. It teaches children that they should be ashamed. They should feel ashamed and of being white and apologize, and that they should go and tell their parents that America is a racist country. These are lies from the pit of hell told by liars from the pit of hell. Well, you say, you know, you're right, Pastor. You're right. I agree, but boy, why are you the only one that's actually saying that? I'm not the only one that's actually saying that. I think you're going to hear that from all of your unregistered Baptist preachers. But why are there so few of us? Well, there are a few of us because, well, to tell you the truth, the vast majority of preachers in the pulpit are not even saved. They're not even saved. And the vast majority of them are afraid. They're simply afraid to speak up and say the things we say here. For example, they know that burn, loot, and murder, what they call Black Lives Matter, we call them burn, loot, and murder, and Antifa, are to the Tethocratic Communist Party what the brown shirts were to Hitler and what the red shirts were to Stalin. They know that the so-called woke movement is led up by corporate whores. And folks, that I mean exactly that. That these are people that have sold their very souls, so they've bent down under the pressure. And these, again, are corporate whores. I have no respect for them at all, okay? And here, not only have they sold themselves, but they've sold themselves cheap, very cheap. Here, they see pedophilia, sodomy, transgender, bestiality, and child sacrifice. We see that all on the rise. They know that these abominable sins, and that's exactly what they are. They're abominable sins, will destroy a nation, but they are much, 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 much too afraid to stand up against them. They see a wicked, evil, antichrist pedophile, and I mean this, named Jobama, Biden, openly Biden opening our nation's border to invaders and terrorists from around the world. Obama has opened our nation's borders, folks. The definition of going to war is when you're invaded by foreign countries. When a country is invaded by foreigners, that's the definition of an act of war. It's an act of war. We have millions of people coming across our borders, and we know that many of these are terrorists. But Joe Obama, this is all a part of their plan. When they know that there's no way the Democratic Communist Collective now can win a fair and honest election. They know they can't. They know if there is a fair and honest election, that party's going down big. So they've got to find a way to stop it. If they bring in enough of these terrorists, they have them planted in their cities, that where they, when the word is put out, and remember, you've got rogue. We no longer have an independent FBI. It's not. It's a part of the Democratic Communist Party. We don't have a Justice Department. It's a part of the Democratic Communist Party. They will all be involved, just like you had 22-something FBI agents involved in the January 6th. They've got no credibility left anymore. There's no legitimacy left. They're not a credible police organization today. They're not. And you know, that's a real hard thing to say, because that I had friends that were FBI agents, and they were proud. I mean, they held their head up. They were not ashamed. Today, they've gone bad. They've gone dirty. Now, they're not all dirty. John McTurnan thinks they've all gone bad. He said he thinks there's none left in there, but there's a few out there that still have some honor. Some have integrity. Some decency. And some will say, you know what, I'm going to obey my oath. I'm not going to sell myself like a whore, like those above me have done. And that's the reality. And for any of you who are out there listening, let me tell you, this is what God says. You better pay attention, you see. If you think you had a big job trying to take down Donald Trump, it's a whole different ballgame when you're up against God. And the things that you're doing have put you at odds with God. And you've got one remedy only. And that is to repent or perish. To repent or perish. Now that's reality. So my suggestion to you is you repent. And you go back and you bring a little bit of integrity, a little bit of honor, a little bit of decency back into your profession, if you will. Today, we see the Democratic Communist regime aiding and abetting drug cartels and human traffickers in a mad rush to reduce America to the status of Venezuela or North Korea. That's their goal. They want to reduce us. Look, Joe Obama Biden is owned, lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. Do you know who said that? The Chinese Communist Party said that. They came right out and said, we own him. We own him. They own him, and they own... And he knows that they can bring stuff out that they would have to. Even a corrupt... Well, maybe not the JOD, because it is so corrupt, but the DOJ rather. But there's enough stuff... Joe Obama Biden has broken so many laws, and there's so much corruption in the Biden crime cartel that the Chinese could put him in prison forever, and they know that. Now we, those of us Well, you know, we, those of us that understand what the depopulation agenda of the New World Order really is, have been to a great degree alienated from a lot of times our families and friends that are clueless. They're clueless out there, many of them. I'm going to tell you, again, we've seen this. I've seen so many cases now, and I hear from people. I've gotten so many letters from grandmothers who have wrote me saying, I can't go see my grandchildren. My daughter or my son will not let me come see my grandchildren unless we get the kill shot. And in some cases, they've gone and done it. And they've regretted doing that. And little to these parents who are so disrespectful and dishonorable to say that to their parents that raised them. And their parents that raised them are much, much, much wiser and have much greater knowledge. They understand. And the problem is that these people have been brought up in public school system and the hotbeds of cultural Marxism called universities in this country. So those of us that are of a sound mind and biblically literate understand that the forcing of dehumanizing wearing of masks has nothing to do with stopping the spread of viruses. Look, those masks that they're putting upon people out there, folks, they are not going to stop a virus any more than wearing a T-shirt. What they will do is they will keep bacteria around your mouth, a buildup of bacteria. You're supposed to change those every 20 minutes at the most, which has caused many people to become down with pneumonia and other diseases. Some have gotten infections in their mouths. But the purpose of that is all about control. It's about degrading the very image of God and controlling the masses. That's what it's about. It's got nothing to do at all with stopping the spread of the virus. It's only about control, 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 control. And so here, you know, we're fully aware of the goals of Big Pharma, that corrupted the people's DNA. Their goal is to totally corrupt our DNA and to actually reduce us to being less than humans. We know that many times more people are dying from the kill shot itself than are dying from the COVID. We know that about 90% of those that have taken the shot haven't died from the COVID, they've died from the shot, the kill shot itself. The fake news media has gone a-whoring with Big Pharma. They're running interference for Big Pharma to keep the truth from coming out. Today in America, these following institutions, this is just a small percentage of them that have lost all credibility. They've lost all credibility. The AMA, you know what? So many people, I've heard from so many people that tell me, Pastor, I no longer trust my doctor at all. I don't trust them at all. They told me that I should go get the poison, the kill shot. And I'm going to tell you, there's been a tremendous lack of trust now for these doctors that just went along with what they were told to do instead of doing like frontline doctors, the real doctors who said, you know what, no. Do no harm to our patients. Do no harm. And the only harm that those kill shots can do is they can kill you, one thing. But they can do a lot of harm. And so those as far as the people that I'm talking to, the ones that have doctors that told them to get the kill shots, they've lost all confidence in them, all. They've got no confidence left. When I had the COVID, I refused to go to the hospital. I knew that if I did, they would probably try and kill me. And so the CIA, totally corrupt, totally corrupted, criminal. The FBI, well, we just talked about them. They've lost all credibility. The CCD, look, the CCD is not a government organization. Folks, the CCD, Center for Disease, or CDC, rather, Center for Disease Control, is owned by Big Pharma. It's owned, lock, stock, and barrel by Big Pharma. The FDA has lost its credibility. HHS lost its credibility. The DHS lost their credibility. And the DNC has become a totally antichrist. It's totally become antichrist. And so, with all of that, now that's my commentary. We're going to start tonight in Mark chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Now here, this is our Lord is talking about predicting the future. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Well, here, about 15 years before Jesus was born, around 20 B.C., Herod the Great, he had to remodel and rebuild the temple, which stood for nearly 500 years since the days of Ezra. And we'll read that over in Ezra here in a minute. Herod made the temple one of the most beautiful buildings in Jerusalem. Now, he didn't do it to honor God. He didn't believe in God. No, he did it to pacify and to appease the Jews whom he ruled over. Because they were a hard people to rule over, okay? And so here, that magnificent building project was completed and finished on A.D. 64. So just 6 years later, Jesus' prophecy that one stone would not be left upon another was fulfilled just 6 years later in A.D. 70 when the Romans completely destroyed the temple and the entire city of Jerusalem. I want to go over to Ezra here for just a minute. And in Ezra, chapter 6, starting with verse 13. Then Tattaniah, governor on this side of the river, Shetharboznaiah, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent. So they did speedily, and the elders of the Jews built it, and they proposed, through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, that they build it and they finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the house was finished on the third day of the month, Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel and the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. And they offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all of Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set their priests and their divisions and their Levites and their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the books of Moses. And so, going back to where we left off in Mark 13. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Seest thou these great buildings there? Shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall the sign of all of these things shall be fulfilled? Now here, Jesus predicted both near and distant events without putting them in chronological order. Now, in fact, some of these verses you'll see from, you know, in a matter of 1 to 2 verses, he will skip ahead 2,000 years. Now, here we go. We see here that some of the disciples lived to see the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And when they saw this, they remembered what Jesus had said. When he told you that one stone, and they saw the temple was finished 6 years before the total destruction, they saw what Jesus said. Now, you know, at that time, that would be quite a prophecy. This temple was huge. I mean, this huge mammoth structure. And to think that somebody's going to tear this temple down? No, that can't be. And Jesus said, listen, not one stone will be left upon the other. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened in that temple. He goes on to say, and Jesus began answering them and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall be not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, recently, an old friend of mine had just written a big article, and I'll tell you that Steve Quayle wrote this article saying that he believes that the Great Reset and the Tribulation are one and the same, and we're in it now. Well, they're certainly connected. There's no doubt about that. But we're not in the Tribulation. No, we're in a time what is clearly, very clearly called the time of sorrows. It's the time of sorrows, or the time of the birth pangs. And the things we're seeing right now are all of the things that the Lord warned us that we would see. But like he said, the time is not yet. Okay? In fact, let me read that again. I am Christ, and there are many coming to saying, I am Christ. Well, we saw that. Remember Louis Farrakhan? Louis Farrakhan, well, he was the Messiah until Obama came along, and then he changed up, and Obama became the Messiah. And Louis said, when Obama speak, Messiah speak. Okay? And then you had, remember, Sun Myung Moon, he was the Messiah for a while, too. You had a whole bunch of them, a whole list of them out there that came along and telling us that they were the Messiah. I remember it's been some years back where that fella came from down in South America. And he came up and he started out of Florida. And he actually had 666 on his forehead. And he had two whores with him. And the two whores were hardly wearing any clothes at all. And he actually came and he said that I hung upon that cross and I suffered terribly. I suffered terribly. But I did that so that you wouldn't be under all of these restrictions. I did that so you could live any way you want and do whatever you want. And that was his message. Well, don't you think that a message really appealed to the apostate church? He was being invited to come speak all over in these apostate churches, okay? You know, those that condone and embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. Everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls transgressions of his law, the apostate church today embraces. The Episcopal, some of the United Methodists, the Pilgrim, a lot of the apostate church, World and National Council of Church, not all of them, not every congregation has totally apostatized, but for the most part, yeah. And the vast majority of those in the pulpit today are not at all, not saved at all. And more of those than you see in the United Methodist or United Church of the Antichrist, you see more and more of them have women pastors, and many of those women are witches. They're witches. They're involved in witchcraft. And this is called the great apostasy, the falling away that the Bible says we will see. He goes on to say, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. Boy, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we? And famines and troubles, and these are the beginnings of sorrows, the beginning of sorrows. This is where we're at now. We're seeing these now, right now. But take heed to yourselves, for they should deliver you up to the councils and to the synagogues. Now he's speaking to the very first converts. And these were all, mostly all Jews, the first converts. He's speaking to the apostles and all that, those, and the first converts. You shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. And the gospel, you know, John the Baptist, Herod, you've taken your brother's wife. The Apostle Paul, all of these went, and they stood, and they spoke out against these corrupt kings and rulers. But take ye for yourselves, for they shall deliver you up into councils and in the synagogues. You shall be beaten, you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published amongst all nations. And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now brother shall betray brother to death, and father son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and they shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure shall unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, here, as he goes on, the Lord is now, the Mount of Olives, and when I was in Israel, the Mount of Olives rises up over Jerusalem, above Jerusalem to the east. Now, from its slopes, a person can look down unto the city and see the temple. Now, Zechariah 14, 1 through 4 predicts that the Messiah will stand on that very mountain in the very same place his feet were when he left. Now, what are the signs of the end times? There have been people in every generation since Christ's resurrection claiming to know exactly when Jesus would return. No one has been right yet, however. And Christ will return on a timetable, not man's. Jesus predicted that many believers would be misled before the return of by false teachers claiming, to have revelations from God. In Scripture, the one clear sign of Christ's return is that unmistakable appearance in the clouds, which will be seen by all mankind. Now, here, I want to jump over to that Zechariah 14 for just a minute. Well, actually, let's start in Zechariah 13 with verse 7. Now, here he says, Awake, O now, here again, this is prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ and about his crucifixion. And what happens when he's crucified, how those that are with him will run, they'll flee. He says this, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Excuse me. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein." So he's telling you that out of professing Israel, out of those professing Israel, one-third of them will receive Messiah. One-third of them will be true Israel. The others will be the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, the two parts shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Now, today in Israel, you have groups of professing Orthodox Jews, and growing numbers of those, and they're acknowledging, yeah, you know, it's unmistakable that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You can't argue with it. I mean, it's Isaiah 53, you can't get any clearer. Psalm 22, you can't get any clearer, okay, than that, okay. And so they recognize Christ as Messiah, but at the same time, they say yes, that they're looking for Messiah, but at the same time, they also honor Father Abraham, and they try to keep the laws of Moses. So they're trying to mix the law with grace, and the law and grace don't mix. And so here, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided into the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." That's when he took his people out of Egypt. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave into the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed to the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for that day of the mountain shall reach into Azel," yes, "and you shall flee to Petra." They'll be going to Petra. "Like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." Well, what is he talking about? The Lord thy God will come, and all the saints with him. And so here, those saints are the people he was referred to over. In fact, in Revelation chapter 19, we read, starting with verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a great sharp sword, that with he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Well, here, the armies in heaven, the armies, folks, know there are people that don't understand what he's telling you here. When he's leaving, and over in Zechariah, we see the Lord arriving, and as we see, the armies that are with him consists of four categories of saints. Four categories of saints. Now, the first time saints are mentioned in the Bible, they refer to angels. So you're going to have angels, you're going to have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the Tribulation saints. And this is an army. Now, a lot of people misunderstand what that means, the sword that goes out of his mouth. The sword means a weapon, a weapon. And the army is not there as spectators. The army, that's God's people, will be there in glorified bodies. And they're there to do, it's what armies do. Armies war. Armies go to war. And the army will be there to go war against the enemy. You have all of the armies of the world coming out, marching down through Jerusalem, going after the remnant. And as they get to the Mount of Olives, the Lord splits it to the south and to the north. And they go in through that, just like when he parted the Red Sea and brought his people through and up. And so what happens is when the armies of the world reach there, they run smack dab into the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and his army. And that sword going out of his mouth is simply his command. Get them. Get them. Now, folks, the purpose of an army and the goal is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. See, when you go to war, well, that's the goal, to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. Now, you see, when you have glorified bodies, and that's what all the saints will have, you can't die. You can't die. In other words, well, we're all going to be like the angels. Now, when you can't die, and the enemy can die, then you've got, just one great, great, giant, big advantage there. And that's exactly what's going to happen. When the armies of God go to war against the armies of the world. And so, as we go through here, he goes on to say here, but when you shall see, well, you know, let me go back here. Now, brother shall betray brother to death, and father to, and son, and father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Today you have again, like I said, so many big splits in families where grandparents are being told they can't see their grandchildren unless they get the poisonous poke. I have a good friend, a very good friend, who was wife, was a nurse. And she knew about the kill shot. And her husband told her, do not, whatever you do, do not take that. And she didn't. She held off until her daughter says, look, if you want to visit the grandchildren, you got to get the kill shot. And so what happened was she went and got the kill shot, and her personality turned completely. She just turned completely nothing. And as her husband said, it's almost like she's not a human anymore. Well, in fact, that's exactly what those kill shots do. They corrupt your DNA. And so here now, he goes on. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet standing in the where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let him that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. Well, listen, the abomination of desolation Jesus mentioned is the destruction of the temple. by God's enemies. That's the when they place, where the false prophet places a statue into the temple, and he brings it, what appears to be brought to life. Okay, and that's the beast here. But the temple has been throughout the years. It's happened repeatedly in Israel's history. In fact, in 597 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar looted the temple and took Judean captives to Babylon, what did they do? They went into the temple, they went into the Holy of Holies, they desecrated the Holy of Holies, he took all the chalices and everything out of there. And then here, in 36, or in 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry, I believe it's chapter 36, we see that in 168 B.C., when Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a sow. He sacrificed a sow on the altar to Zeus in the sacred temple altar. And then in Daniel, also 9:27 and 11:30, and in A.D. 70, when the Roman general Titus placed an idol on the site of the burned-out temple after the destruction of Jerusalem. Here you saw and then in A.D. 38, just a few years after Jesus gave this warning, just a few years, the emperor Caligula made plans to put his own statue in the temple, but, you know, he had grand plans. He was going to place his statue, and what happened? He died suddenly. So he goes on to say, "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, those are nursing mothers, in those days, and pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created." Now we're into the tribulation period. Now we're into the tribulation period. "And unto this time neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen, he hath shortened the days." Now, here, remember, there are a lot of those that are referring. We'll say, you see there? Doesn't that prove that we'll be here during the tribulation? No. The church has received Christ as their Messiah. The whole purpose of the tribulation is the purification period of the wife of God, which is Israel, and the punishing of the heathen nation. There is no purpose at all for the church to go through the tribulation. In fact, in place after place after place, the Lord says that the church would be spared from that. Now, again, the tribulation period is for the purification of the nation of Israel. And he goes on to say, and for the elect, the elect are that one-third that we just spoke of, the remnant that we just spoke of over in Zechariah. "And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show many signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." Well, the elect are those that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want to take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here. I start with verse 10. "But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can know them, but because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. How many times are we told, judge not lest ye be judged? You hear that from the opposition, because that's all the part of they know. They don't go on and read a little further, where it says, but when you do judge, judge with righteous judgment. In other words, don't hold people up to higher standards than yourself, what he's talking about. But the world's clueless. They don't know that. The heathen, they just keep parroting things without understanding even what they're saying. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, you see, this is where discernment comes in. We understand, okay, those of us that we understood right out of the chute, folks, about this whole thing about COVID, how it was nothing but a scamdemic. We, those of us with the mind of Christ, understood that. We understood what the kill shot was, okay? We refused it. We understood about the wearing of the masks. We knew what the Bible says, that you don't hide your face, you know, the image of God. So, but the world didn't know that. You have so-called, supposedly, churches that went ahead and they shut down. When the Bible, we never shut down a day. Why? Well, we understood that when they tried to, but when they put the apostles in jail, in prison, they put them in there to keep them from having church service. But Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. And they did. And they could, when they got out of jail, they went right back and did it, held the service. And so we understood that because we're biblically literate. And through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have discernment. But especially the mega corporations, the mega entertainment centers, if you will, or country clubs, so many of them, they actually, not only did they shut down, but actually turned their so-called churches into places where they were allowing Caesar to come in and give people the kill shot. They were allowing to come right on that property. I would have cut off any of those pastors that did such a thing. I would cut off all communication with them. I would separate myself from them in a heartbeat. Now, we go on to say here, and he says, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show great signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, the elect. But take ye heed, and behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And learn a parable of the fig tree, when the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is time nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass. Now, he's making a very clear point there, folks. These people, they keep predicting, they are not to do that. They keep predicting the time when the Lord comes, and they'll say, well, I'm not predicting the day or the hour. I'm just going to tell you the month or whatever. No. When they tell you that it's going to come during the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, whatever, and they make these statements, they are telling you because they started a certain hour, okay? And so pay no attention. When the Lord comes back, believe me, the whole world will know. The whole world will know. Every eye will see. Now, here, you see people that seem to be pretty short-sighted who spend their time learning about all the things in this temporary world by accumulating possessions like in the Prosperity Church. Folks, these things are temporal. And today, let me just go over here because we're running up against the clock. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, either the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, or even at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now the Lord said he is returning for those that are looking for his return. There are a lot of people out there that are professing Christians, and I mean, I believe a lot of them are saved, but they don't understand. They believe that the church will go through the tribulation period, where there's absolutely no reason at all for the church to go through the tribulation period. And again, specifically in numerous places, the Lord himself says that the church will not have to go through that. But now, I'm looking at the clock, and now I got to just tell you, folks, we're closer than ever to the Lord's return. He's coming back for those that are looking for his return. And I believe that some of those that are even Christians that are not looking for his return may be left here during the tribulation period for lack of faith. But he is coming back, and he's coming back soon. Now, when he comes back, he just gives you a warning here. He says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, which I say unto all, watch. Folks, you don't want him to come back and catch you in unbelief. You don't want to see the Lord come back and that you die in your sin. Things go south forever. When I read over there in Revelation 20:10, that's forever and ever, day and night, forever and ever, day and night. So, folks, again, now is the time. Now is the time to call upon the name of the Lord. Repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior if you haven't done that. And now is the time to make your salvation sure. You really want to make your salvation sure. I know we're coming up to the end of the program tonight, so it's been a good. I hope that you learned from my message tonight, and we're going to go through it all week long. And so it's that time when I always say good night. God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.